So for me, and it might just be me, but one of the worst feelings in the world is when I see a big problem and realize that there is absolutely nothing that I can do to fix it, which happens to me more than I like. Like every once in a while, I'm in an emergency and you call the ambulance and there's someone on the ground or whatever and the EMT comes. And you know which guy I am? I'm the worthless guy in the middle, just distracting the experts because I want to help. And I want to come with a diagnosis and I want to fix the problem. And I know a lot about medicine because I've watched a lot of TV. And the actual medical people are like, hey, it's so great that you're here. Can you go get us? And they send me on a ridiculous errand. Like every time, like they don't really need any of the stuff they send me off to get, but I can't help but get in the way because I see a problem and I want to fix it, but I can't. Or I'll watch sports. It's terrible. I should just stop. Sports are the worst because I yell at the screen, why don't they run the ball? Can we just get someone to throw it? Look at that guy, it's wide open, right? I want to fix it. And sometimes I get the impression, I'm not positive, there's no way of proving it, I don't think my yelling at the screen helps one bit. But I get this feeling and it's frustrating. I see a problem and it should be fixed and I've got plans, but there's nothing I can do about it. And I'm not the only one, right? Anyone else in this room or online, you ever feel frustrated because you just can't do anything about some big, obvious problems you see in our world, our country, our community, your family, and you find yourself yelling at the screen or into a wall, why can't we just, we're just shaking your head. Why do people do this? And you find yourself frustrated with your inability to fix some obvious problems that don't seem to get better. It's not just me, right? Okay, good. So today's episode in the story of the early church is about what God has to say to people like us when you find yourself frustrated, when you see a problem and you can't fix it. What do you do in the meantime? It's a story about the Apostle Peter. Apostle means someone who's sent to do a job. And Peter in particular has a big job. His mission is, well, Jesus told him what to do. Jesus told Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church, right? That's what Jesus told Peter. That was his job. That's what he was set to do. That was his mission. Jesus told Peter, you are going to change the world, and it must have felt so great to be Peter because he's got a very clear, obvious path to go. He's going to build a church. And you got to imagine, he's got plans. He's got goals. He knows exactly what to do next. He's going to start a church in Jerusalem. The problem is he can't start a church in Jerusalem. He cannot do any of that. He can't do what Jesus told him to do. He can't fix what God's called him to fix. He can't build what Jesus told him to do. You know why? It's a mess. We've been talking about Acts. It's a crisis. It's chaos. In Jerusalem, people are getting murdered for being Christian. You've read Acts. I mean, this literally happens. People believe in Jesus and immediately move away like refugees because believing in Jesus in Jerusalem meant best case jail time, worst case worse. No one's sticking around to build a church in Jerusalem. He can't do what God's called him to do. He can't fix his problem. And I've got to imagine that Peter must have been really frustrated because it's not just that he wants to make a difference, but it's his job. This is calling. It's not like he's watching the EMTs do CPR and the person's fine. He's just not a part of it. Like, is that he's got a job to do and he can't do what God's asked him to do. I mean, he's supposed to be building a church, right? He's supposed to be preaching to crowds, he thinks. He's supposed to be, you know, working in that food kitchen that Stephen got killed for running. Like, and you know what Peter can do right now? Not a thing. Every single one of Peter's plans is on hold, is disrupted. And if you've ever felt like your good plans are postponed, if you've got ambition that got punted, if you got goals that are good and it just didn't work out, if you're sitting here and you've ever felt frustrated because you want to make a difference and you can't, you have a special insight this year. in 2020, you know exactly how the Apostle Peter felt in this passage of Scripture. He's not fixing it. He's not building a church. He's not doing what Jesus commissioned him to do. We find him in our story literally wandering around aimlessly. He's taking a hike. He has nothing else to do, so he's wandering around. You may have felt like that before. The question I want to know is, what does God tell Peter in that moment? Because whatever God tells Peter, I think God might be telling us when we feel the same way. Let's look at this story in Acts chapter 9 and learn what God has to tell us when we feel unable to do what God's called us to do. This is Acts 9. I'm going to read and start reading verse 32. And here's the story. As Peter traveled about the country, he's not really going anywhere. He's literally wandering around. He went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat immediately. The story tells us Aeneas got up. So this is not Peter's job. This is not what he's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be in Jerusalem. He's literally taking a hike, wandering around. He can't start a church in Jerusalem. In fact, he can't really even go out in public in Jerusalem without getting arrested. This is not the way he wants things to go. He thinks to himself, where do I go? I'm just going to wander around, find people, and visit them. And that's what God had for him. Instead of bringing people to church, Peter takes church to people. Now, some of you right now are online in your pajamas eating breakfast at home, and you can imagine exactly what this is like, right? Peter is taking church to people here, and you may be at home right now, church coming to you. You just need to know that's not the first time this happens. Peter finds Aeneas in his home, and maybe Peter is also preaching. We don't know. Maybe he's doing small group Bible studies. We don't know. What we do know is that Peter is praying for people, and he's doing good to them. He cares enough to reach out. He visits people who are stuck at home, and Jesus heals this handicapped guy through Peter. And we don't know if Peter ever has a church service, but we do know that people who saw God's power and Peter's kindness, look at the next verse, verse 35. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. So here's how sovereign God is. Instead of building a church in Jerusalem the way Peter thought it would work, Peter is frustrated, literally wandering around. He finds hurting people and prays for them. And as a result of that, not Peter's plan, people turn to the Lord because God's in control, not Peter. Another story. There was a disciple named Tabitha in Joppa. Her Greek name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. And it's easy to rush past that statement, but I think she deserves a little bit of our attention. Luke is telling us right here what disciples of Jesus are like. There's a lot they can't do. There's a lot they can't fix. If you read the history of this time, it is extremely disruptive. There's a lot to fix. The government was messed up. It was the definition of anti-Christian. And corrupt families were dysfunctional and split up. Theology was a little bit off. Ancient Rome was a mess. Dorcas could have always been complaining. Dorcas could have always criticized. Dorcas could have always started fights. Dorcas could have always been right. We'd all understand that's what it was like in the first century. But look at what this disciple was. She was always, you tell me, what was she always doing? She was always doing good and helping out the poor. That's what disciples of Jesus do. About that time, she became sick and died. Her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. And I'll just point out that the Bible doesn't whitewash how messed up the world is. Sometimes even in the early church, the worst things happen to the nicest people. In fact, so far, when I read this story, I feel like I've known people a lot like this. Let's see what happens. Lydda was near Joppa, geography lesson for you. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. So Peter comes with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. Look at the scene. All the widows came around him crying and showing him the robes and the other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with him. I just want you to picture this. It's so touching. Here's a wonderful, godly woman who did good to people, and she got sick, and she died, and Peter shows up at the wake, and it's full of widows. Widows, I mean, they may have actually lost their husbands, but widows was also a label for the most vulnerable people in the ancient Near East. They had nobody. And they're weeping, and anyone who walked into the wake, they're showing off it. They're probably wearing clothes that the deceased Dorcas had made by hand, going, look, Dorcas was always doing good things. Like we didn't have clothing. And she made, like, check this out. She made this, she sewed this. Whatever you did to make clothes back then, I don't really know. But here's someone who found me when I was in really bad shape. And I'll bet you heard this at the wake. I don't know what we would have done without this godly disciple of Jesus who is always doing good and helping the poor. And, you know, let me just say, I've been honored to be at wakes a lot like this. And I think mourning people who are always doing good is good. It inspires us to live a life that leaves a legacy like the people we mourn. I've been at wakes like that. But Peter gets down on his knees. He turns toward the dead woman. And he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. Just to be clear, I've never, ever gone to a wake like this. Like, this doesn't typically happen. But here's a great story. Peter visits her. See what he does? He gets down on his knees and prays. And God did, like, something miraculous. And the next verse says, this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. This is our story for today. Peter was supposed to be in Jerusalem building a church. That was his plan, but he couldn't, because he couldn't preach. He couldn't gather people in Jerusalem. He couldn't do all the things he thought he needed to do. And in that moment when he felt frustrated and aimless and lost, because he couldn't do any of those things. He couldn't fix any of his problems. He's literally wandering around because God, or he couldn't do what God sent him to do. God has a plan for him anyway. Not his plan, a different plan. And obviously there are some details that don't translate to your life or my life. There are things different about this time in biblical history. There's things that are different about the Apostle Peter and who he was and perhaps how God worked back then. But this is our story. And I'm convinced that if you've ever felt like this, frustrated, because you can see it, right? There are massive problems that Peter feels like he wants to fix and he wants to do something about it. And you've been there, and maybe you get upset and frustrated and just passionate about how broken things are, but you really can't fix it. You need to hear what God told Peter when he was frustrated with that same thing. Because perhaps he has the same thing for you to do. Here's what I believe God is teaching us from this story to do. It's not complicated. When you think that you can't fix it, find people and pray. When you think that you can't fix it, find people and pray. You know, when you're unsure about what to do next, when your plans are frustrated, when your projects and goals, when your way of making a difference doesn't work, when for whatever reason you cannot fix whatever broken thing is in front of you, there are circumstances beyond your control that seem to be stopping what God's called you to do, here's what God had Peter do. And I think maybe God has those same things for you to do as well. First one's pretty simple, right? Find people. People matter to God. They should matter to you too. Now, here's a story, right? Peter is literally wandering around with no apparent direction. There's no plan in mind. He's not reading a map. There's no GPS on his phone. And he definitely can't do what he believes God's called him to do. He's not building a church. But he doesn't stay alone. He doesn't let himself become isolated, which, by the way, isolation is really natural when you're frustrated. And it's actually very dangerous. Being by yourself, putting up walls, makes you feel more and more helpless. It leads to despair. In fact, right now, isolation, I think, is becoming one of the most dangerous long-term issues in our culture as we come out of a pandemic. You know what Peter did? He could have stayed by himself. He could have stayed behind a locked door. But he found people. People need people. Like, we like to be a lone ranger, but I think by example here, we learn from this story that we shouldn't do life by ourselves, and we shouldn't let other people go at it by themselves either. Frustrating problems don't get fixed by themselves. They only get bigger when you're by yourself. When you try and take it on by yourself, you can't take it all on. It's a really practical thing to do. You need to work at it right now, though. How do you find people? I don't recommend just wandering around. You find people, figure it out, make some phone calls, figure out how to connect with people in this community, make some campfires, talk outside after church, figure it out, do what you gotta do to connect with community, even if it's a little extra work right now, but find community. And I will add one more thing to my little simple statement here. Find people, and I'll add this. Here's the thing about people. When you don't know people very well, when you just see them at church or in class, or here's the thing about people. They might seem like they're okay, but the more you get to know them, the more you discover how messed up we all are, right? Part of knowing people is getting vulnerable. And when you discover that people are just as messed up as you are, you've got three options. Lots of people run away. And it's as a first option, it's really easy. And it sounds like this. You know, I just asked how you're doing. You're supposed to say good. Like, I didn't want all that. That's a lot. So lots of people just kind of run away in one way or another. Second option, you can do bad. Also easier than you think. Words, body language can be harmful and hurtful. Right now, it's really easy to say, like, even with good intentions, things like, well, that's too bad, but my job's okay. My kids are fine. My parents are never unreasonable, and my sports teams are winning right now. Like that doesn't really help people. You could take more examples. So you could run away, you could do bad, or the third option is what Peter does. You can actually lean in and get involved, and you can do good to people, which is not easy. It's not convenient. It might sound like, well, thank you for sharing that. It sounds really hard. Can I do anything to help? Or let's just talk about it. Maybe that'll make you feel better, me feel worse, but I'm willing to do it. Sometimes it means thinking ahead of time of uplifting things to say or challenging things. Sometimes it means investing resources to help people. You, like Peter, when your plans don't really work, you still have the power to do good to people who need it. And let me just say, I'm trying to make this shorter than usual, but if I had more time, I could tell stories. I could probably go row through row in this church and tell stories about how many of you are a lot like Tabitha. I love this church. You're always doing good and helping people. And lots of people do things on your own, and lots of you do things through this church. Our church does more together than we can do separately. And you know, I'd love to talk about how we're able to love people that we find in rough spots through things like the food pantry, Grief Share, health clinic. We have missionaries all over the world. I could talk about the deacons and benevolence or the elders and shepherding. I could tell you things like, I don't know, this week we started a partnership with Living Resources, a nonprofit. You'll see two vans in the parking lot. They're here on weekends, but on weekdays, these vans go out with staff to do good things, to help with programs and education with elderly folks and people with special needs and learning disabilities. I'd love to tell you that we're able to be a really small part of that. But you see what Peter does here, right? Peter really simply, no stories needed, finds people, does good things to them, and prays. And everything Peter did here, it may not end where it usually ends with me, but it starts the same way. It starts with prayer, which, by the way, is why we prioritize prayer, why we spend time in our public service praying. It's why we have the prayer chain. It's why we have comments online, because prayer is important. When Peter is helpless to make a difference because circumstances are impossible and overwhelming, you see what he does? You could do this. When he can't do anything else, he gets on his knees and prays. And God doesn't always answer me like he answered Peter. There may be several reasons for that, why we don't see this as often as we see in the book of Acts. But the instruction is the same. When you think you can't fix it, when you hit a wall, when you are frustrated with your inability to make a difference, find people and pray. You know what happens next? I think when you're frustrated because you can't fix it, God does what you can't do. There's this line we saw like three times in the passage so far. Many people saw and believed. And again, this is the great irony of our frustrated plans and serving a sovereign God. God's plans are way bigger than ours. Like God goes, Peter, I'm going to build my church on you, and it doesn't work. Like, you can't talk to people about the gospel in Jerusalem right now. There was nothing Peter can do to fix it. You know what he did next? You know what God had him do next? Peter found people, and he did good, and he prayed. And do you see what happened as a result? It's one of those really sort of funny ironies, because Peter's plans were frustrated. Jesus actually used all of that to build his church better and bigger than Peter had planned, imagined, laid out, or dreamed of. So when you think you can't fix it because you can't fix it, find people and pray. And let's just see what God does this week in the broken world that we find ourselves in, because his plans are bigger than ours. So Father in heaven, oh Lord, we need you. Every hour we need you. When we think we need you, when we don't think we need you, Father, we are, honestly, I feel powerless in light of the many problems that are frustrating our plans, that seem to be affecting our nation, our world, and our community. And Father, I pray that you would help us, help me, to do what Peter did. To, when we're frustrated by our inability to change things, can you just help us really simply, as a disciple, a follower of you, to do good to people, to find them where they are, help them however we can, and pray for them. Father, even though we can't often see the road, when we can't see your plans or understand why things are the way they are, help us to trust that your ways are higher than our ways. You are more powerful than us. And can you, Father, I just pray boldly, can you change the lives and hearts and bodies of people who we pray for in a way that brings you glory and shows people how great you are? And may we trust you as a result. Father, we just need you right now. Can you show yourself to be as big and grand as you really are? We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.